Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, where we bring creativity and transformation under one umbrella. And we do it in the context of business. We talk about the creativity of business. We talk about transforming your business, transforming you. And every week from 7 until 8, we have a guest, and our guests have expertise, and we talk about business, your business, the business you have, the one you would like to have, or the one you work in. And we talk about things like finance and 401ks, leadership, project management, sales, management. We cover quite a few topics, and tonight will be no different. And we have a great guest. I think you're going to love the experience and the sort of creativity he's going to share with you and how long he's been doing this. I think you'll find it amazing. Before we introduce the guest, you know I never take this journey alone. I have to introduce my co-host, Lori. Let them know you're in the house.
Hi, everyone. How are you? It's great to be back. And super excited about our guest tonight. We actually kind of connected this week, and I got to learn quite a bit. So hopefully you'll learn a little bit. You'll have some questions. Feel free to call in. The call-in phone number is 516-387-1640. And tonight we're going to welcome Andrew. Andrew, welcome. And Andrew Satriano is the National International Design and Sales Representative from Crown Point Cabinetry.
Thank you.
He was always that representative. So, Andrew, introduce yourself, and let's get to know you a little bit.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really an honor to be here with both of you. I'm very excited to talk about everything. So I'm here. I'm ready.
Yay. All right. So, Andrew, tell us a little bit. You said you were 8 years old.
It feels like it. It's a long time ago. I started in this business when I was 16 years old. I was building micro furniture for Micro Innovations way back in Albrook. I grew up on Long Island, so everything, all my experience really started from here. So it was exciting. So I just remember going in there, going to people's homes, and as long as I can remember, the kitchen has always been one of my favorite places. I grew up with a wonderful sister, two wonderful brothers. I had good parents. I love them both dearly. And it was always the kitchen that drew me to a lot of laughter, homework, sitting in there. And now my own children, and my wonderful wife, it's the kitchen that pulls it all together. So creating that and being a part of making memories for everybody is just something I love doing. I always have.
That's so awesome. And a little bit, I guess, if you want to get a little up close and personal, you have how many children?
I have three wonderful boys, 26, 20, and 12.
Okay. So, yes, and the kitchen is still the heart of your home?
Yes. It's the heart. Of course, my wife is. I got to say that first, but the kitchen is with everybody. It's meals and memories. And every time you have an event or a party, everyone always comes into the kitchen, and that's where you want. And I always joke, that's why I create islands and kitchens, because it keeps people on one side, when you're trying to work on the other. So that's why we create the island, just to be more of a blocker between everybody. But, yeah, it's great.
Awesome. So, and then after you were building cabinets at age 8, tell us how you got started in the industry and how you go about doing your sales.
So it's great. Wow. My journey began a long time ago. It started at 16, building micro furniture. Then I answered a call to Consumers Kitchens and Baths here on Long Island. It was a good education, and the teaching, the teacher there was just fantastic. So it was hardcore. They kind of threw you in there, and I learned a lot from that, and I learned what not to do and what to do. So I was happy, met some great people there, and then my journey took me to Expo Design Center, when that came up. I went to Westbury for a little while, and that place was just wonderful. It was eye-opening because you got to deal with everything. It was very exciting. You know, I had to do the kitchen cabinets, the tile floor, the faucets, the knobs, the handles, the tile backsplash, the appliances. Then to be a part of it, to extend it with the contractors, and to take it from inspiration to installation was just incredible. I was really blessed to have that journey.
For those who don't know, Home Expo is part of Home Depot, right?
Correct.
And
so it's Home Depot first, and then Expo came.
Right. And you have said, you know, we'll talk a little bit because, you know, where our listeners are entrepreneurs, right? Mm-hmm. And as the sales associate, you're always entrepreneurial and thinking big. And here you were a subset from a big box store, and they were trying to grow it within the same model as Home Depot, but they're the luxury division, right?
Correct.
If we can get into some of the issues, the problems, the things you saw,
sure.
You know, some of the insights would be so welcome.
Absolutely. I mean, it started off where the creativity, it was like go, you know, it was great. So as we were there, we were able to flourish, take the classes, take everything. And then one day it just came about, Expo Design Center closed down. And we'll get into that a little bit. But after that, I was lucky to go to Lowe's. I met some great people, wonderful people, loved them. It was like a family, you know, another family. I was the project specialist of interiors. And there's about 10 of us on the island. So it was fantastic. We had that team, and we were able to build off of each other, talk to each other. I was creating within my own store. I was located out in Hicksville with a great, great team there. And again, I was lucky enough to help people design, to create, to be a part of their family, and help them create new memories, I used to say. So they would be upset the old cabinets were coming out and down, but then it's like, no, from this point on, we're going to create new memories, and you're going to have more stories to tell. And that's what it was all about. And that was great. And until one day we got a phone call, they closed that whole part of Lowe's down. So that's where, but that was okay because it took a while, but my journey then led me to Crown Point Cabinetry, where I've been blessed. It's a different concept than the big boxes. It's wonderful, and I love doing what I'm doing now.
Which is so nice. So you actually saw the Home Expo downfall coming.
Yes, I did.
Or the closing of it coming. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
I do. Thank you. It's it was hard because, again, you create a family with everybody, and that's what it was. And mm-hmm. the people that are in there working side by side, and those are the people you miss forever. But it's always the vendors and the reps that kind of know everything ahead of time. And you start listening to them and building your reputation, and all of a sudden they're not giving you the things that you need to succeed or tools that say, listen, I can't supply this anymore. You start to see the writing on the wall, and that's what we mm-hmm. did. And then, you know, upper management, what they were considering is that they had such this wonderful concept of creativity. And it was, I don't know if you've ever been into the store, but it was beautiful. And I prided myself in Comac and all the people there in that store. And, you know, but they wanted to treat it like a Home Depot. And Home Depot's fine, you know, for what it is, but it's not stack them high and watch it fly. Put this merchandise here when you walk in there. So you start stifling the creativity, and then the clientele that they were shooting for was actually the 14%. They used to tell us, this is where we're heading, and this is what we want to do. So when everything unfortunately started to drop back in 2009, that's when they decided to get rid of this little division that was part of Home Depot. You know, mm-hmm. so they just made a grand announcement. It was another phone call, and they said, we're closing shop, and they weren't going to keep just one few successful stores like the ones we were blessed to have here on Long Island. They were getting rid of them across the country. And things that they were doing to try to improve as well, too, is that they would take, and we have beautiful states across this country, and it's wonderful, but Expo Design Center didn't belong in every state. You know, it was more of a destination stop where you wanted to go, you know, like Bloomingdale's or something, and that's what it was. But they tried to stop putting one in every corner. and that was not working to show growth of the Home Depot company. So it was another reason. But, you know, that's sad story, beautiful stuff, great people, wonderful designs, and I really enjoyed the clientele that we were with from Montauk to Manhattan, was in my area, that I got to experience and have a journey. And it was exciting, you know, to see the different homes and to walk in there and mansions, you know, I got to see. And, you know, some mansions I went in had Prohibition history. And, you know, then I go to Manhattan and it's smaller and sleeker, but it was just, the views were amazing. You know, but my most favorite, I should say, the one I enjoyed the most was the residential homes. When you walked in there, because it reminded me of how I grew up and what was going to be happening in this kitchen. You know, once the excitement started happening and you worked hard, the biggest key to success, I can always say, is communication, communication, communication. So we'd sit down there, and I know coming from my store, we had a plan. This is when we're starting. This is when we plan on finishing. Let's make sure everything is here, is ready before we go and not waiting for anything. And when we do it right the first time, complete. And as long as we kept everyone as part of the process and I got their feedback and what you love, if you wanted to make a change, let's see if we can do it. Keep the creativity and the communication flowing. And we were very, very successful. So I was very, very lucky as far as that goes. But it was said that they made that phone call and they made the announcement and then we all had to leave.
Yeah, which is so crazy.
Go ahead, Ted. No, finish.
No, I was going to say that that's one of the things that you and I, when we started the podcast, right, was, oh, my God, you're done, right? Everything's closed down. What do you do now?
Yeah. Yeah. You only have two choices in life. I mean, I've had things happen to me throughout my life, as you and I were talking about the other day. And my father told me a long, long time ago when I was young. And I guess, you know, when you're very young, you think the world and things are going to happen and, you know, over something silly. And I remember just sitting down in the bed and I was upset. And he goes, get on your feet. Something very simple. And I remembered that my whole life. It just stuck with me. It's like one of those things that reverberate in your head. So I go, yeah, get on your feet. Just stand. Just simply stand. And both my parents instilled that in their own ways. So I teach that to my boys now. Just I tell them, not only do you stand, but you need to rise. It's important to rise into the occasion, to get up when you get knocked down, look for something else. And I always tell them, get the facts. Okay, this happened to you. What's the next step? What's my plan to move forward? All right, so the first thing I did is, oh, my God, I got to get a resume. Okay, how do I do a resume? What's going on? You know, you know, you get in there because now you have all these people running for jobs and doing different things. So you have to think ahead, be clear, and learn to pre-act and not really react. Now, I was lucky enough to know the vendors, and I had great, you know, communication with them, and you forge relationships like their family. So it's like, okay, maybe I should start doing this. I started preparing just a little bit before, so that kind of gave me an edge. And, of course, my other family's there. The other PSMs, your project sales managers at Expo. We started talking, saying, I think this is what's happening. So I was able to go out and continue in the interim or work until I found something at Lowe's, which I love doing. Now, Lowe's is a different story. I love working there.
And then you get to Lowe's.
Yeah, then you get to Lowe's. It was, I can't complain anything about the people that were in that store. Even the store managers were great. And I worked with a really great man named Tom Connolly. And he was my direct boss. And he was really good. I mentored onto him a lot, and I was happy that, you know, he was here and who he was and what he did for us. And it was a great opportunity. You know, people come in there, and the first thing I would do with any business or any project is find out the financial framework. You know, everyone's afraid to ask for budget. They think the budget is a scary word or to do something. And he told us, no, it's not scary. And I did that. And one of the first things I realized is that before I asked for budget or the financial framework, the way I like to say it, is that I designed this beautiful concept for someone. I'll never forget it. She loved the tile. She loved the faucets, the handles, the countertop, the cabinets. I mean, her heart, you can almost see it beating through her shirt. I mean, she was so prideful. I put everything together, and I was asking her for what she wanted to do, but I was using the word budget, and I learned never to do that. okay, what's your budget? I'm not going to tell you because people don't want to tell you because they think that you're going to rise to whatever number they say. But I learned to say that you need to build up that trust. People will tell you their budget if they trust you, if you built up, if you got enough, you know, if you build up enough of a relationship, then they're going to believe in you. So when they say that I don't have a budget, number one, that's not an actual fact. It does. So great, you know, I'll give you $100,000 for your vanity. Wait. Oh, so you do have a budget. You know, I'll cease to laugh.
Right.
But anyway, so I was sitting there, and she came in there, and she's sitting at the desk, and we asked, okay, great. You know, you want to see your budget. We can do this, and it came out beautiful. She loved it. She was so excited. I said, okay, this is the price. Next thing you know, she collapsed back in the chair, and tears were coming down her face. And I was looking there with the rest of my team. We're all looking at her like, oh, my God, are you okay? What did we do? This and that. She goes, there's no way I could afford that. That's more than double than what I thought. So I learned a very good lesson. And I sat down with the team. I was like, guys, listen, from here on in, number one, let's go with what Tom said. We don't look for the budget. Let's look for a financial framework. And once we know that, we can help you achieve your dream within the goals or the parameters of what we can offer.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And if you want to do this, then, okay, great. If you want to raise it to this, we can do that. If you want to find some money here or go more on the appliances or less on the appliances, but let's push it here. So that was one big lesson I learned, you know, and helping to maintain creativity. You can be creative. You can do everything. And it always looks great on paper, and it's wonderful. And then, you know, if you go beyond their means, then the dreams fail. And then, you know, I found out you fail. And so we learned that lesson. And Lowe's was there. So we learned that. We went on, and we did so many beautiful jobs. And I was there for almost 10 years. And it was great. And again, life was good. Everything was fine. We were going on there. We had a wonderful contractors that were really built up. So many people were giving us recommendations, which is the greatest compliment you could ever get. Then one day, you know, they called us into a room, all the project specialists of interiors, or PSIs as we were called. We go into the conference room, and they said, hold on, there's going to be a phone call made from New York to California. Every PSI is on this call. So I'm looking around the room, and I'm looking at my colleagues, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? They get on there. They announced that we all lost our jobs. Done.
Wow.
Now, how far apart from Home Expo was this? A year or a month?
It took me about a year from Home Expo to get into Lowe's.
Okay.
So then I worked at Lowe's, you know, again for about 10 years. And then that phone call happened. And then you're just looking around there. And at first you're stunned. And then,
right.
You know, they try to talk. You know, if you can't talk during the conference call, it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a question and answer period. They're saying, here you go. This is it. You know, and, you know, we'll give you a severance. Done.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that you loved and everything that you built up and the friends that you made and the relationships that you made, and it's hard. You know, it's hard to lose something like that. It's almost like you're grieving.
Right.
You know? So then they had, you know, of course, there was an HR manager in the room. You know, and they give the standard line that, you know, people have sat here before where you are and they turned out to be kings and queens. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear, I got
right.
a family that I need to feed. And that's always, you know, always comes back to whatever happened to me. I had to say to myself, oh my God, my family, my children,
right.
What do I do now? So here you go again. You know, the rug's been pulled out from under you a second time. How do we get past this? How do we rise? You know, how do I react to what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's two choices. I can bury my head in the sand. That's not going to help anybody. It's not going to help me. You know,
mm-hmm.
I can realize that, hey, I got people relying on me. Let me go and do something. So they say it
right.
takes about a year, you know, to find something to where you were, to what you built up to, you know, and to continue going. And that year in between Lowe's and the blessing that I found at Crown Point Cabinetry was a really, really rough year. Can I share something with you guys? Is it okay if I go?
Yeah, please.
Okay. I think you know where I'm going to go. I'll make it a little personal. I didn't have any insurance, of course, within that time. So we still had to find something. The severance wasn't enough, but you didn't have coverage, and we're going on that. And I wasn't feeling well, and I was very tired. It was hard to get off the couch. And I was taking just jobs that I could in the meantime and pushing myself through. And I kept saying to myself, you know, as a man and the whole thing, you know, get up, shake it off. You got people you got to take care of. People are relying on you. So I was selling windows at the time, and I had to carry these samples. I could barely pick them up. I'm like, wow, this isn't like me. And I just kept pushing it off. So I get up one night in the middle of the night, and I didn't have insurance yet. I was waiting for it to kick in. And as I go to use the bathroom, I just notice blood, not to be graphic. But I was like, wow, it's the middle of the night. So I Google it, you know, like everybody else, and I get my degree in medicine, you know, in 15 minutes, Google University. And it's like, oh, this can happen to men. Don't worry about it. You know, blah, 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 blah. So in my mindset, I'm like, well, I got to keep moving. I got to keep going. And when I get my insurance, then I'll go back. So the insurance kicked in for the window. I'll just say it's the window job, selling windows, which I didn't like because it wasn't my creativity. And not a bad job selling windows and doors. It's great. But from everything that I've done up to my life moving up to this point, I wanted to be there where there was more color and choices and options and knobs and handles. So that's who I was. So finally, you know, I found out. I was like, wow. Insurance kicks in. I run to the doctor. I tell her what happened. She goes, you feel any pain? I'm like, no, I didn't feel any pain at all. She's like, okay, well, it's not stones. I'm like, oh, what does it mean? She goes, let's go for a little sonogram. I go for the sonogram, and I'm talking to the person. We're having a good time because I like meeting people. You know, I like talking. And all of a sudden, I just see her face go blank, and like she stopped talking. I'm like, okay, here we go. I look over at the screen, and I see all red. Whatever organ was in there was all red. I'm like, oh, red, is that good or bad? And she didn't say anything. So I'm like, I'm thinking this is bad. So doctor calls me up later on, and she goes, Andrew, I got to tell you something. I'm like, what? She goes, you have cancer. I was like, oh, okay. And she was checking my kidneys at the time. I was like, wow. So I'm hearing this on the phone, and she's talking beyond that. And I love my doctor. She's great. I've been through for years. But I don't know anything she said after that. I couldn't tell you what she was telling me, what was going on. Just in my head, I heard, you know, that C word, you have cancer. And the room, you know, comes in on you, you know, and you're like, wow. So I turned to my wife, and I look at her, and I said, well, I got cancer. So she looks at me, and I see her eyes watering up. I was like, well, let's find out the facts. Let's see what we're going on. I'm not going to react. I need to stand. I need to stand on my feet and to keep moving forward. I believe in not moving on with anything. I believe in moving forward, and there is a difference. Because you keep moving on means you forget it and you move on. Sometimes it's not right to forget. Remember and learn, you know, and carry it with you and become the better person that you can be. So you rise. So I remember going then, doing the sonogram. I'm sorry, going back to the doctor, the urologist, and he's looking at it, and God bless him. The man was like 99 years old, and he's sitting there sipping his Diet Coke, and he's flipping through the papers, and as he's reading his page, he's going, oh, oh, ooh. So I'm standing there looking at him. I'm like, well, what does this mean? And he goes, well, you're going to have to lose a kidney. So I'm like, oh, okay, not a big deal. People their whole lives. You know, I knew someone at Expo. She gave up a kidney, a great lady, for a cousin. So thinking, people go on. This is great. This is just rise. Just keep going. We can do this. So I'm sitting in there. So then I go to another set of doctors. And Northwell has been fantastic. LIJ, shout out to them. The doctors there, 100%. I believe in them. And thank God that I was there. So I'm looking at three doctors, and they're looking at me now. And now they're starting to tell me that I had a tumor on my kidney that was bigger than my kidney, and it affected my adrenal glands. So now that they're telling this to you, I'm looking, staring at three doctors, and my wife is there, and my son is there, and I'm looking behind me to see who are these people talking to, because you can't be talking to me. I don't understand you. Just, this doesn't happen to people. It happens to other people. It never happens to you. So it's like, okay, how do we move forward? So still with the window company, and I got to say, so I call up the window company that I was with. I was like, listen, I have surgery on this date. This is what happened to me. And I can't work on this date on. This is in 2019, in October. So at that time, I started interviewing with Crown Point Cabinetry. I didn't get the job for Crown Point yet. I was still going through everything here. And I didn't know I was sick when I was interviewing for Crown Point. I'll just tell you how great Crown Point Cabinetry is. So the president there, his name is Brian Stoll. Company been around for 40 years. His family started it. Wonderful company, strong company, 100,000 square feet, state-of-the-art facility, what they built it to from a garage. So anyway, this wasn't a big box anymore. This is more about people and becoming not a member of the team, but a member of their family. So all this is going on, and I call him up and say, Brian, listen, I just found out. Before you send me the final paperwork, I went to their physical. I had to get my insurance, you know, to make sure I was a good driver, background checks. I had to get references. I actually went up, drove up to New Hampshire for two interviews, gone through that whole process. So I sit there and I said, before you call me, Brian, and you offer me the job, my morals dictate, and I can't do this to you. I have kidney cancer. I have adrenal and adrenals, but my adrenal glands. Before you give me any offer, I just want to let you know that I don't want to start a job and then have to tell you that I'm leaving for surgery or this is what happens. And you know, I'm silent. I'm on the phone with him, and he goes, Andrew, he goes, at any time that you went for the interviews, that I asked for your references, that, you know, you went to the physicals, that you did anything, any time, and it was a long process to join the company, at any time did I ever ask you if you had two kidneys? And I just, tears were literally welling up in my eyes, and I had a lump in my throat, and I said, no, sir, you did not. And he goes, so what makes you think that now I would not want you? He goes, I want you more because of your morals, because of your ethics. I want you. He goes, if I have to wait until January or February, whatever it takes for you to get well and to come and to join us, that's what we're going to do. I was overtaken. I'm like, this is it. This is my family. You know, I never wanted to leave Expo. I never wanted to leave Lowe's. You know, when the rug's pulled out of you, I never wanted to have cancer. Nobody does. But then to hear this and to be a part of something, and then you know, and then looking at what they do and what they've created, and the whole goal of Crown Point is to keep that creativeness open, you know. And we have a philosophy, it's different than everyone else's, is that we don't have dealers. You know, we deal direct with the architects, builders, contractors, and designers. So they can call us, there's no middleman, and it's been working out fantastic. And we've had the busiest year we ever have had in a long time, and a very successful program, and that's who we are. So I'll go out, I'll do sites, and I'll measure. I'm doing back to what I love. So it's been amazing. It's been a journey, that's for sure. You know, but to sit there and hear those doctors, and then finally, again, back to Northwell, I met my oncologist, Dr. Thomas Bradley, and he was fantastic. He was the first one, you know, he got me into the research program, and I was blessed. I said yes to the research, because no matter what happened to me, if I can make a mark in someone else's life, if I can do something that helps other people, and especially my boys, my first question to me when I sat down with Dr. Bradley, and he was telling me more in detail and drawing it out, and I remember my wife sitting next to me, and she went through two boxes of tissues, literally, that's a fact. And you know, I'm just sitting there listening, and I hear everything, and I judge everything, and the only thing I ask them is that what I have, will my boys have? Are they susceptible to this? That was the one question I asked. And he's like, no. He goes, cancer is just cancer. You know, I have the healthiest people in their lives can get it, and if nobody deserves it, it just happens. It just affects everyone. So I got that answer. I was like, okay, so now how do I move on? What's the next step? How do I rise? How do I stand? You know, I grabbed his hand, shook his hand, and I said, let's fight this. So we started the process for research, and there's two roads you can take when you do research. One is with the medicine, you know, which is, you know, they're researching the medicine. It's not proven yet. And the other one is no medicine, just the surgery, but we'll come in and we'll do x-rays and MRIs and scans more often. So I was blessed with the fact that I got to have that medicine. There was infusions that just went into my arm. You can't do chemo with kidneys. It's different. So I didn't really have any side effects, and it was great. You know, I felt like I was contributing to society, to other people. And, you know, there's my wife. God, and I love her, and she's in there, and she goes, I don't care about the other people. I just want you to get better. And the doctor's like, I understand that. You're right. He goes, I'm fighting with her. Let's concentrate on you. And I'm like, well, if I can do something that's going to make a mark or to help someone else not go through what I'm going through, let's do it, you know. And it was just, you know, whether I got the medicine or not, and, you know, God bless, I got through there. I got the medicine. So I went through there. went through the surgery, and Dr. Vera did the surgery, and I was left because I'm sitting there beforehand, and he goes, okay, because yes, there's going to be your left kidney, your two adrenal glands, and a little bit of veins going in there. And he goes, I go, well, what can I expect when I wake up? You know, I never been in the hospital in my life, never been under and everything, and here I am, you know, at 51 years old at the time. I'm like, so, you know, what do I do? He goes, well, in the incision is going to kind of look like an S. An S. I'm thinking, cool, great. I run out. I buy a red cape. I'm all excited. I'm going to have an S, you know, tattooed on me. I'm like, you know, here we go. And then I wake up, and the S is like vertical. It's almost going from hip to hip. So I'm like, yeah, great. Now I'm flying around crooked. I can't go straight. I don't look like Superman whatsoever. You know, so we had a good rapport. And I believe that humor, just it takes you far. It really, really takes you far. And where you want to be and what you want to do. And you have a choice. You know, you can go ahead and just be miserable and accept this, you know, whatever happens to you, whether it's you lost your job or you have cancer, this and that. You have that choice where, okay, great. And I said to myself with the cancer option, all right, great. You know, if I fold up now and I just say, this is it, you know, I have a disease, the kind of type of cancer that's very, very aggressive. And it was stage 4. You know, I didn't want to know that. I didn't care what stage it was. My son happened to ask the doctor at the time, and he said in front of me, whether it's stage 1, 2, 3, or 4, I'm going to fight it. I've already made that decision. I'm going to go ahead. I'm moving forward. I want to live. You know, if I accepted that and said, all right, nothing's going to happen. I can't do this. Don't bother with the research. Then I asked myself, at what point did I die? My death didn't start, wouldn't have been when I died. It would have started back when I gave up. Because then how do you really live? So that's the mentality that I had. You know, so
it's amazing how adversity can bring out the best in people. So for some people, they crumble and fall apart, and it sounds like it pulled something special out of you. So a really good job on your part.
Thank you.
I have a question. So, you know, I think you said it was 2009. That's when Home Depot closed up that division, correct?
Yes.
So with the pandemic, are you seeing any signs of any similarities? Like, were you said the sort of writing was on the wall, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So are you seeing any writing on the wall now?
No. Thankfully, thank God. Crown Point has had the busiest year it ever had during the pandemic. We're mid-range to high-end.
Okay. So let's take a look at that. So. How old is the company?
40 years old.
40 years. And you said this is the busiest year. This is a record-breaking year.
Yes.
Why do you think that's the case?
Because of the clientele that we're lucky to have. You know, starting at mid-range cabinets to extreme high-end, you're always going to have the clientele. A lot of people throughout, instead of spending money on the vacations that they planned on, so I can't travel anymore. I can't do this. So now they're in their homes. They're looking around and saying, we need to fix this. So we were lucky that we could still go to we didn't go to the homes. We were already set up, and he was smart. Brian is a very, very smart man. We were set up to already do Teams meetings that we were using Teams. And to send brochures or to send samples, because again we're international and we're national. So, you know, based in New Hampshire, I live on Long Island. I've done jobs in Antigua. I'm in the process right now. You know, I have down in California.
Really?
He's done Japan and Switzerland, and so we're set up. What do you need? Great, send me the measurements. Okay, great. So I work with if I was working with a wonderful designer like Lori. Great. And she said to me, hey, Andrew, all right, here's the architect. Talk to him. Here's the builder. We were lucky enough that we can get everybody together and do this on the computer, have a Teams meetings, and make sure the client was happy. Send her as much stuff, got their input. Or, you know, Crown Point will do as much or as little as you want. So I'll deal with everything.
Right,
I'll build up that rapport. So that was set up. So that helped us through the pandemic.
So I want to make sure I'm clear. So your cabinets are custom, right? These are custom to client order. So there's nothing like sitting around on a shelf for someone to buy them.
No, not at all. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just a different.
Okay, so these are, okay, so this is interesting. And I think something similar happened in 2009, which is people who had plenty of money, they were still buying golf clubs and yachts, mm-hmm. and they were still buying. What was interesting, the car manufacturers that pulled us out of the, you know, the 2009 recession was Mercedes, right. BMW, and Audi, because people with money were still spending it, and they were spending generously. But I think people, the average person, was thinking that, oh, this is horrible. Wealthy people are spending money, which it was actually a good thing, because that's how the economy gets stimulated. You know, the million-dollar homes were being sold when, you know, the housing market was being crushed. So are you saying sort of the same thing is happening now?
Same thing was happening now, and he did something. Branson did something that was brilliant. He created a second line called Crown Select. So he's offering the same quality cabinets that you can get with a high-end Crown Point line, same quality, but here's your choice of doors. And here's your choice of paints. We can lower the lead time. And he brought it, instead of doing a high range, he brought it down to a mid-range cabinet line, which competes now with what you're seeing. So we were able to capture more of the market, offering the best. And in 3 years, sales have been fantastic. He is very smart, man. It's a beautiful line. And you're getting the same quality cabinets with the paint finishes. The difference is, you know, it's still custom cabinetry. It's a limited custom cabinetry, saying, okay, this is what we can offer. The doors are 3/4 inch, which is standard, or as compared to Crown Point, which is an inch thick. You know, Crown Point offers more American black walnut interiors. That's standard luxury. There's so much more you can get with that. But the Crown Select is, again, still nice, but standard maple veneer or white, whatever you choose, can be frameless or inset. But so he decided to have two lines, and that opened up about 3 years ago, which has been
okay. So that's interesting, because you know, every company has an untapped market. So how do you penetrate the untapped market? And it sounds like he's figured that out. And at the same time, because of the pandemic, everyone has been stuck in the house and not take vacations, so they have extra cash. And if you're going to be in the house, I mean, Lurie has talked about this. Since home, you know, home can be your jail cell, right? Prison, and your family, your wife, and your children, or your cellmate.
No pun intended.
Or you can beautify it so that it's you know, it's almost like your vacation away from home, even though you're still home. And it sounds like, from what you were saying earlier, is like the kitchen is a great meeting place for families. You know, conversations happen there. Games, you can play games. There are lots of eating, food, cooking, sharing stories, sharing your day. And so it sounds like people are beautifying a place where they spend a lot of time.
It's the most emotional room in the house. Yeah, it's full of emotions and full of creativity. You know, even where you place the stove and what you do and how you see things, it's great. And I used to joke, you know, too, so you're not only the most emotional room in the house, and your kids did homework there, and you had hot cocoa when you were young. And, you know, I've had some wonderful loud conversations in that kitchen as well, too, you know,
right.
Being married. But it's great, and it's all good, and you just learn and you grow. And the memories you have, it's meals and memories. And I always wish everyone to have wonderful memories. And when you talk about your grandmother, if you think back then, and if I ask you, and I said, what did your grandmother used to cook? Or your grandfather? What meals really bring it home for you?
Right.
You know, you're going to go back to that kitchen and say, oh, man, yeah, my grandmother used to make the best, you know, boom, boom, boom. And that's what I love. And that's the start of being creative.
Okay. You mind if I ask maybe you answered it, but building cabinets, and you started at such a young age, I mean, what was the incentive for you to start
at
a young age?
I remember just going out and I needed a job, and you know, school was good. I enjoyed where I went to high school and all that, but I was working there, and we were loading the trucks, and then I started making, you know, spraying the glue on the mica and seeing what was happening. And then I remember walking to the office and seeing the kitchen designer just drawing on a piece of paper. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm getting ready for the next kitchen design. So I started watching him. I'm like, oh, wow. So I was asking him questions. I didn't realize back then there were rules, you know. There was the NKBA guidelines, you know, making sure people were safe. So it's not just a matter of throwing cabinets together. So I asked them more. And then seeing it, what really got me is delivering it to the house and bringing it in there and then going back at the end and seeing what transpired. And I was hooked. I was hooked. And my mother teases me because growing up, I used to leave the kitchen cabinets open as a teenager, you know, and that would drive her crazy. Close the kitchen cabinets, this and that. And then I got jobs in showrooms. My whole day, sometimes I was just closing those kitchen cabinets. So she got a little smirk out of that and, you know, maybe a little revenge. But that's what caught me back then, sparked it, you know, watching him and then seeing it and then watching these families enjoy their kitchens, you know, as much as they used to enjoy mine.
Interesting. So you went from enjoying – sort of the sentiments that you experienced in the kitchen and then watching other people enjoy it. And then you were building them yourself, designing them, and now you're selling them. I mean, that's like, that sounds like you took quite a journey in your career.
A wonderful journey. Yeah. It was, you know, I take the best at everyone that I meet. You know, I think it was Lincoln that said, anyone could see the worst in someone, and most fools do. You know, so I was like, okay, so don't take the bad, take the good. So I would take the best and learn. And I'd take a little bit of each person, create it into my style. And so I would design it in my way and see what the client wanted and say, well, this is the reason why. And then to the very end, you know, everything that I had gone through with Expo Design Center and with Lowe's, I was like, that's it. I want to see if I could rep. And now, you know, I just happened to find, you know, I answered an ad and then Brian responded right away. And first we were texting and emailing and he says, okay, you email very well. And I can understand that if you send an email that you'll, you know, he goes, out of everyone, he goes, you seem the most intelligent so far. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you'd be surprised how people text and email and their responses and how they word things. It's like, okay. So from that went on, and then again, I was lucky. I am truly blessed to be where I am today, to work for a very good company that allows me to be creative.
So I want to ask you, so it sounds like there were some people who, when you asked about the design of the cabinets, I assume you're showing them a catalog and they'll choose from that. And sometimes there's no catalog if it's custom. So.
Right.
How do you, you know, the intuition or like what, how do you pull, and these are my words, how do you pull from thin air a design for people who don't really know what they want? Like, how did you do that?
The first thing I do is like the first 15 minutes is I do not discuss the kitchen. And most people are shocked.
Okay.
What do you mean? I find out more about their lifestyle. You know, what stage are you in right now? Do you have young kids? Do you have kids that are in or out? Do you have older kids? Who likes to cook? You know, what do you like to cook? And then I'll use the expression, you know, what's your favorite? You know, what recipe do you cook? What's your specialty? And they'll tell me, you know, big ziti. I'm like, great, I'm putting that on the contract. One big ziti after everything's done. You know, and we laugh and go on. At least I know. All right, big ziti. Great. And then I'll ask them the question, you know, what was it like, you know, you growing up? What did you experience? I'm not asking what do you like about your kitchen, what don't you like about your existing kitchen. No, this is so much more than that. So I'll find that out first. I'll talk to them and we'll chat and we'll say, where are you from? And great, how's the weather down there? And I'll joke about the Giants and the Yankees, you know, going on here and where they're from. So we build the connection first. Once I have that, once I know who and what I'm designing for, then I can design. Then I can say, hey, great, you know what? You mentioned before that you like to bake. So baking is different than cooking. So how about we do this? How about we add more trays here and here? You know, if I do it above the wall oven, and I'll send them a picture. Wow, you know, that's great. I didn't think of that. Or they'll send me pictures. I said, yes, we can do that. Okay, this is another way of doing that. So we build that excitement. I build that bridge together for most of the clients. Other clients are just like, just send me your plans. Okay, great. Well, they've already dealt with it with their architect, so we'll do that a little more.
Okay. But for the people who don't know what they want, you actually sort of get into their head and understand their lifestyle and sort of their the enjoyments that they have in life and relate that to the kitchen.
Correct. Sometimes it's not a matter of what they want. It's what they need. And sometimes they don't even understand
right.
themselves what they need. So I'll find out the need of the need, we used to call it. So, you know, you need this, but why do you need it? You know, let's delve that onion back on the need for things.
So that's interesting. So then you kind of set up my next question. So all of those skills as a designer are completely transferable to sales, aren't they?
Yeah. You know, I wrote an article a long time ago that everybody sells. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are for the company. Just walking past someone and smiling, you're making a sale. So you cannot – I used to have designers at Expo, and they would come. And the ones that would leave fast are the ones that could only design but couldn't sell. You know, they'd sit there with the pretty pencils and the drawings and the stencils. And like, that's wonderful. You know, great, but you didn't sell the job. I'm not here to sell art. You know, we need to communicate. I need you to do both. So I'd be looking for people that can design and can sell. You know, you can
okay.
put everything on paper, and that's great, but let's get it into the home.
Right, right. So for you, was there much to learn in terms of selling? I mean, you told a story before about, you know, budget. You designed something that was completely beyond a woman's budget. So, and that was a lesson that you learned. So it sounds like sales just became a natural fit. Like you were asking very much the same questions, right? As opposed to designing it, you are now working with a team of designers, and I would assume having that kind of design background makes it easy. An easy cooperation between you as a salesman and your design team. So it sounds like you're doing the same thing. You're just asking for the check now.
Pretty much. I mean, experience. And I used to tell my designers, I used to set up classes with the contractors because I need you to understand, designers need to understand 20% of how to install something. Because if you're talking to your clients or you got to believe in it or you want to build up your contractors, you have to understand. Before you can design, you have to understand how it's installed. If it looks great on paper, great, wonderful, fantastic, but we can't install it. So what good is that design that's on there? So understanding how a cabinet's installed, even how it's made, it helps you with your design. You know, you don't have to be experts on it, you know, great, but you need to be intelligent enough to talk about it and understand how your design is going to transfer into an actual home.
Right. So even though cabinetry is not high technology, it's technical knowledge to be able to design cabinets, correct?
It is, because there's also safety involved. Is there a wheelchair in the home? Then you have to be able to talk to the electricians to make sure that even the lights are out far enough. If I'm doing a corner cabinet, how far is that molding going to profile out, and will it hit the trim of the recessed light? So there's a lot to it, and understanding what everyone else does, because it all comes back to the designer. I've learned that.
Right. So you know, one of the things that happens in any industry, one person can be technically they're the technical aspect, and it could be a lawyer that's technically good with the legal aspect, a high tech person, and IT person, a finance person, or building cabinets. Right? There's a technical aspect,
mm-hmm.
but not everyone is good at transferring that over into a sales career. Like they just, as you were saying earlier, they can they're doing art. They're drawing great cabinets, but they didn't know how to sell it to the client. Why do you think you had those skills already? Like, why do you think you were a ready-made salesman?
I give a lot of credit to my family growing up.
Okay.
You know, I go back to my grandparents. They were jolly people, always friendly, starting with them and kidding around. My uncles are just fantastic. So it was just the way we grew up, the way we talked. And it's funny. I guess it's just the way I am because my sister, who is a nurse, she's one of my heroes, as well as my two brothers are. But, you know, I'm the extrovert in the family. She's the introvert.
Okay.
So there is a difference between us. But I guess it just comes with, you know, I really, really want to see people enjoy their homes. I'm sharing. I'm not selling. I'm sharing, you know, to help them create more of a memory and finding the need. So when you enjoy something that you do, the word is create. How do we create this? So, and that's all. And it's a matter of connecting. It's simple as connecting and communication. And once you have that with your client, things just open up.
Interesting. Do you train salespeople now?
I do not, no. I used to, you know, back when I was with Lowe's and was with Expo, and I really enjoyed that aspect of it. Now here, I'm here on Long Island. They're up in New Hampshire. I enjoy when I go up there, but no, now it's just me.
So let me ask you, and perhaps you just answered the question. If you were training salespeople now, what would be the three important things that they would need to understand to do their job really well?
Oh, my God. Have a pen and write down everything, all your notes. If it's not in writing, it didn't happen. You can never say, well, you said you wanted the island 60 inches, you know, I didn't want it 60 inches. I told you 48. Where is it in writing? Where is it in the plan? So get it in writing, number one. Communication, communication, communication. Follow-up emails. Have your line set up there. So great. And it's not an insult to anybody. Don't think of it that way. It's great. I understand this is where you want to be. Just have a conversation. You know, here's my email. We are now at this price range. We're still within your financial framework. So that's number two. Set it up there and set the as you're setting the expectations. Number three, I just had the word in my head. Now I can't think of it. So communicate. Find out the need of the need. If you're designing something and you're not listening and you're not repeating back what they said to you, you know, then you don't know what their needs are. And you can be the best person in the world. You can have, I thought they loved me. They did love you. They thought you were fantastic. But you didn't give them what they needed. So find out what the need is and then find out the reason of the need. And then you have all of that.
So maybe you may have just answered what I was going to ask. But when you say the need of the need, you know, that people can have interpretations, what do you mean by that?
Oh, yeah. And that's just it, finding out the interpretations, because, you know, you can be talking about the same thing, and in their head, they're thinking one thing. For an example, we used to do this exercise at Expo, and set up there. We'd have the designers go in there, and we'd have a box of tiles, you know, in different colors and back and forth. And the person that was sitting there would say, okay, I want aqua. I want an aqua backsplash and do everything, blah, blah, blah. So they would run to the boxes, and they'd put their presentation boards together really quick. And then they come back, and this isn't timed, and they present it, you know, to the person that's presenting to the customer. And they'd say, wait, the client would say, that's not aqua. And clearly it was aqua, you know, the color aqua. And the designer would, no, that is aqua. So, no, aqua is this, this, and this. So they had to run back to the box, redo it, reset it up there. But because they didn't set the expectations up, because they didn't know, they didn't find out what the need was. So now it's just a matter of, okay, you want this color. This is what you think aqua is. That's what you want. Why do you need it? You know, what are you looking for? You know, that reminds me of, you know, back in Brooklyn, you know, I used to have that color, you know, I need the doors at this height, you know, because you want it for baking. I need that. then you find out, and a lot of times, and I've had some experiences with this too, you know, if somebody is sick or going to be in a wheelchair or aging in place, there's a need to have that cabinet a little bit lower because they're setting the expectations. So don't just say, I need that cabinet lowered. Why do you need that cabinet lowered? Oh, great. You know what we can do then too? I can raise the toe kick so that when the wheelchair does swing around, it's not going to fit. So I'm combining two different things. That's the need of the need.
Okay. So the first thing is write everything down so that you have clear agreements and clear mutual understanding.
If it's not writing, it didn't happen.
Right. Communicate, and you said one important thing is to repeat back what people say, right? So
yes.
that goes with writing it. So they say something, you ask a question, they answer, or they're telling you a story, repeat it back, and then record it in writing so that communication is not only clear, but it's captured in writing. And then the third thing was understanding the need of the need, which is the reason behind the need. Don't just take, I like this color without, or this size door or cabinet, without understanding what's really the motivator behind it, so that you can make sure you're fulfilling their needs as opposed to what your interpretation of their need is.
Yes.
Am I following you?
Yeah, that was perfect. You did. And then all of this, you know, is the talent of saying, okay, we can do all of this, what you need and what you want within this financial framework. So design within their needs, set up what you want to do, and then, you know, go the extra mile for them. You know, you can find out, listen, we can do this or we can do that. Be able to be prepared and make changes, but show different options. Still something that they will love and what they need and what they want.
Perfect. So if someone wanted to get a hold of you and have the needs of their needs fulfilled for their kitchen, how would they do that?
Oh, it's very easy. They can call me on my work cell. It's 631-678-2479. Or I'd be happy to answer any emails. And that they would find at A. Satriano. So the A-S-A-T-R-I-A-N-O at Crown Point.com.
Listen, you've been a great guest, Andrew, with us. Really appreciate your expertise, and I really do love how you went from a highly technical person and started at a young age to a salesperson, which, you know, the better you understand your product, and not understanding because you want to dazzle the prospect with how much knowledge you have. You do it in a very constructive way, which is you focus on their needs, and then you use your knowledge to sort of fill in gaps where they're not sure. So your technical knowledge becomes like a gift to your clients and prospects. So, you know, kudos to you.
Thank you. It's a blessing. I love doing what I do. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I have to say thank you for sharing this story and letting us know what it's like to work for a family company that represents your values, right? Family around the table, family at work.
Oh,
and
Your Crown Point Cabinetry, it's amazing. They're a wonderful company. They really, really care about who and what they do. And Brian Stoll is just an amazing man. And if you want to look more at his story, you can look up Dartmouth College. And they did a case study of what he did and how he turned that company around. And it's just amazing.
Yep.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
it's wow.
Really nice for someone who makes their employees priority.
Yeah, he does. He truly does. And he's had people there for 30, 35 years, you know, that are still there. So it's wonderful.
Well, thank you so much,
cool.
Andrew.
Thank you both.
We're wishing you the best of health.
Wow.
Keep up your outlook.
And
stay tuned, everybody, for next week. Have a good one tonight.
Thank you, guys. It's amazing.
Thanks a lot.
Bye,
Have a great
everyone.
Evening, everyone. Take care and good night.
Bye.